Hey guys, it's Damien from Marketing Food Online, and I hope you're having a great day as always. So here's the question. What is the most profitable way of selling a food product? And what are the different ways that you can actually do it if you're creating a food product in a very large batch and breaking it down into individual products? I'm going to go over several different ways so you can understand the different available methods to sell a food product to make the most money here on Marketing Food Online. All right, so let's get right into it. Here was there's several different ways behind me here. I'm going to show you a few different ways that you can make a product and sell it and understand the different variables of people who come between you and your final customer. And it's really important to understand that because it's really dependent upon the type of product that you're making, plus the type of food business that you do have. Because some of the local laws, if you're doing it from home, some of these behind me are actually going to be restricted. And if you're in a commercial facility, well, then all of these are really available to you. So let's hop right into it. I want to explain exactly what this means, okay? So number one, being online, okay? So if you're online, you're going to sell directly to a customer. You're going to create a website. You're going to have a product, the customer is going to buy the product, and then you ship it to them. It's very plain and simple, but the only thing to keep in mind is when you're online, yes, you're going directly to the customer, but there is kind of a middleman. Who is the middleman? Well, if you're on Etsy, they're going to take a cut of that transaction. If you're on Amazon, they're going to take a cut of that action. And then the transactions on eBay or any other platform, they're going to be kind of in between you and your customer. So keep that in mind. So as far as the margin goes and the profit, it's going to be slightly smaller than what you may expect because they're going to take a percentage of that. So they're kind of in between you and your customer, okay? So the next one we have is you to the wholesaler, and from the wholesaler goes to the retailer. This is another example of a kind of a third party that's standing between you and the retailer. Now, this method is used by a lot of people who produce products in really large batches and may sell the product in a very small container. So going online and selling like a $2, $3, $4 item really may not make sense. But when you do this method, remember that your margins are lower per unit, but you can sell a lot more product. Okay. So what I mean by that is let's say you have a box and it's got 24 count box of a product, right? And you're selling 24 bottles of, let's say, vinegar, okay? Now, each individual bottle of vinegar, you're not going to make that much on as far as the margin's concerned because you have a wholesaler standing between you and the retailer. But when you start selling case packs and you're selling 100 case packs or 1,000 case packs, then those margins add up and now you're making a good amount of money. But most importantly is that you're selling a larger volume of product, okay? So you're selling a lot of them. Then this one is one that I would recommend, and where's my marker? Here we go. Okay, so this is the one I would recommend. If you're making a product in a commercial facility, not at home, because this doesn't apply in most states, you can't do this. Now, if you're at home and it's you and you're selling it to the retailer, you directly, and you're delivering it, you set up the sales, there's no one representing you, there's no wholesaler, just you. There's a larger margin for profit when this is happening, because there's no one standing between you and the retailer. Okay, so if it's a local mom and pop grocery store, and let's say you're selling salsa and you can make it in your commercial facility and you just bring it to them, there's nobody else doing the distribution, the logistics. They're not representing you. They're not selling it for you. This is a better way to go. Okay, but if you're producing the product from home, you can't really do this. A lot of states don't allow you to sell to retailers when you're in a cottage food business, okay? Now, the next one up is the you to the food broker. And a food broker represents you, does all the sales work, and will also, in some cases, help you with the logistical part of it, the shipping and all of that. And then it goes to the retailer. Now, this is a good and a bad thing. The only reason why is because the food broker needs money. And normally, they'll take money up front in order for them to begin to get your product out there, to start selling it and be the salesperson representing your product or representing your brand. So keep in mind, the food broker is going to want to get paid to do that. And they're not going to get paid after they sell a product. They got to get paid up front. So you're investing in something that has no idea whether or not it's going to be successful. They could have a food product. They could be out there pitching it and selling it and selling it to everybody, and nobody's signing the contract to buy a product, and you're paying them to do that. Okay? So keep that in mind. When I started my business and we were in our commercial facility as we are now, I actually picked up the phone and began to make phone calls to corporate buyers and purchasers. Just simply do it yourself and say, look, I could be there and I could set up a table, do some sampling. And I delivered it. I took the check. I got paid. It was me and the retailer. So there's nobody between us. So you make more money. Okay. Just keep that in mind. It's like a philosophy about anything. If it's you and the customer, the more people standing between it, the less you make. Okay. Now, then there's you and the Amazon and customers. So this is FBA. Again, this is a method that we use for some of our products here in our facility, that we utilize Amazon FBA, which is fulfillment by Amazon. So they act kind of like the retail store, okay? But they do take a cut, okay? Amazon has to make money, so they take a higher cut to fulfill the order. So they pull it off the shelf, put it in a box. Then if somebody has a problem with it, the customer service, all of that gets taken care of by Amazon. But they're going to need some money. So they're going to take a larger cut. They're going to have a larger FBA fee involved as opposed to you selling on Amazon and you shipping it. That's different. Okay. Now, locally. So this is the most simplistic way. If you're starting out a small business and 99% of the time it's probably from home and you're selling at fairs, festivals, markets, and things like that, it's just you and the customer. You set up a tent, you set up your area, put your sign up, and you start pitching your product, you start selling it, you get people to come to your table, they sample it, then they buy it. That's the most profitable method of selling a product when you first start, okay? Now, when you grow or you have a company who's interested in it, don't get me wrong, like food brokers can be beneficial. If you've got a really hot item and they're going to push it like crazy, you could begin to sell thousands and thousands of units. To be honest, every single one of these methods work out great, but I just did this video to make you understand how these work. Now, when you're first starting out from home, this is probably the best and the only legal way of doing it because you can't normally sell to retailers and then they turn around and sell it. Cottage food business laws, most of the time across the board, dictate that you have to sell it to your customer and you have to give it to them and you're done, okay? So, don't get me wrong, all of these can apply and they can make you money, but just remember more people that stand between you and a customer, the less per unit you're going to make. Now, some of the benefits of a food broker is, the benefits of the food broker is maybe you are not really energized up enough, you're not really set up enough, or maybe your personality, you're not really good at like picking up a phone and just talking to a corporate buyer out of the blue, and that's okay, nothing wrong with that. Food brokers do that for you. But the other great thing is most food brokers actually have existing relationships with grocery stores, grocery chains, grocery buyers, and they could get your product in stores faster, larger orders, and represent you in a much more professional manner. Okay. So don't get me wrong. Food brokers are great. Okay. Wholesalers, the same thing. They're kind of like a food broker. What a wholesaler would do, a wholesale distributor would do, is they've got a big warehouse, okay? So let me show you this really, really quick. I'll show you. So here is the big warehouse. Okay, here's the house. And what it is the wholesaler. So now the wholesaler does this. On this side, you have all the retail stores, okay? Retail stores. And what they do is they're going to buy products from the wholesaler. Well, the wholesaler needs to get it from somebody. So the food manufacturers, okay? So the people who make foods, maybe it's even you, and you do it in a commercial kitchen and you sell it to a wholesaler, they're going to stock it in their warehouse, okay? And it's going to be thousands of foods. Normally, it's tens of thousands of different products. They may be having 5,000 or 6,000 different products to choose from. So these retailers have to find products from somebody, and it's got to be a food distributor. So these wholesalers will do that. And what they're going to do, these food distributors will stock in their warehouse all of these different varieties of products, and they'll tell the retailers, hey, here's our catalog. We have a ton of different products to choose from. You pick out what you want and we'll distribute it to you. But they're going to constantly be reordering from you. So they're going to kind of represent your product and do the shipping. Now, the wholesaler actually buys the product from you. But normally, they're not going to give you money up front. It's normally 30 or 60 days net. That means that you're going to give them the product in advance. In about 30 days, they're going to send you a check for that, or 60 days. Okay? And that's traditionally how it works with food distributors. They're not going to pay you the second you give them the product. It's done. Here's your check. Have a great. Thank you so much. Have a nice day. That's not how it works. So the retailer will get it from them, and then they'll ship it back to the, they'll ship it the order to the retailer. So they keep bringing in new products back and forth. They may change up their product selection. They may try a product and it doesn't sell. They're not going to order it again. They'll order something else. So this is another way that those broker, those distributors work, okay? Those wholesalers. And this is a good way to go, but keep in mind that the wholesaler has to mark up the product too once they buy it from you. And they're going to buy it from you at a lower price. So I do hope that that kind of gives you an understanding of the different methods of selling a product, the different ways that you can sell it, okay? And remember, the fewer people between you and your customer, the more money you're going to make. So I keep my videos short and sweet and to the point. I hope that helped you out. If it did, do give me a big thumbs up. I thank you guys as always. If you have any questions, just let me know down below. If you're not subscribed, subscribe to my channel. I've got over 400 videos to show you how to create a food business or just start a food product and get it online. Maybe you want to get it locally, however you want to work it. I also have consulting. So if you looking for more one-on-one help, I have that available. Check us out. MarketingFoodOnline.com. Thanks, guys. Take care.